Amen. Thank you. And again, thank you to Brother and Sister Abbott, Bishop Abbott, to Pastors Grogan's. We are just honored to be here. And to you wonderful, wonderful saints of God that make up this church, thank you for having us tonight. It's an honor for us to be here. I do have a word I want to give to you. And as I mentioned to you, my whole message changed in that prayer meeting. And I'll have you turn to three portions of Scripture with me. The first one is found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. And when you have it, say amen. I see you have it already. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you can turn with me now to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 reads as follows: the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The last scripture I'd like you to turn to is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. And Paul wrote, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. I pray you will minister your word to our hearts, Jesus. Let it be applied. Let it be responded to. I pray, God, that every heart and every life be touched of the Holy Ghost, ministered to and directed, Lord. We ask you to minister now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. So let's see where this goes tonight. Like I said, I may refer to these, but this is what the Lord gave me when I walked in here. What I was going to preach about was about the fire, the Holy Ghost and fire, and how it needs to be resting on each and every one of us. And I'm going to touch on that. But we absolutely need that. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we read about the Holy Ghost and fire, a fire that rested upon, whether it was the sacrifice, whether it was the temple, whether it was the tabernacle. There was always a fire where God's presence was. And on the day of Pentecost, when they received the Holy Ghost, what rested upon their head? A fire. Cloven tongues like as a fire. And so tonight, I want to use that as a foundation. So when I walked in here tonight and I began to pray and I began to feel the fire, I began to experience the presence of God. The Lord said, the fire is here. The fire rests on this congregation. The fire is burning here very strong. And I can say amen to that. From the prayer time throughout the whole worship time, it was a time, it was an encounter with God to the operation of the Holy Ghost. And so the fire is here. And so what I want to share with you tonight, what I want to encourage you about tonight, what I want to preach to you about tonight is divine encounters. Everybody say divine encounters. God wants to take you where he's moving. And God wants to take you where he's working. And God wants to take you where he's reaching. He wants this fire to go through this community and set it ablaze. There have been a number of notable revivals that have taken place in North America. One in New England back in the 1600s. And a quarter of the New England area was converted in one revival. The next one happened in the state of Kentucky in the 1800s. 10,000 people were converted in that revival. In New York City in the mid-1800s, there began prayer meetings. A few men gathered together, and then a few more men gathered together, and they would pray throughout that city. They would gather, and it said every public place was had become a prayer meeting. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people were saved in New York City. Who would guess that in a city like New York, you could have thousands of people converted within just a year's time? But that's what God did where there was fire. And then we're all very familiar with Azusa. Azusa Street revival started with a prayer meeting. Started with a man just putting his head in a box and just was going to pray. And the people gathered together to pray. And it was around Easter time. It was just before the great 1906 earthquake that shook San Francisco to its core. But what happened just before that was a great revival where the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire fell in the city of Los Angeles on the street of Azusa, and their people were filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost. You take it to more even modern times. You think of one of the contemporaries of our day. Many of you know who Billy Cole is. But I looked up just a little statistic, Pastor Grogan, and it said that he saw just shy of 1 million people receive the Holy Ghost in his life. Just shy of 1 million people. So tonight, my message to you, what I feel like the Lord gave me for you tonight, is the Lord wants to work through you through divine encounters of the Holy Ghost. You see, when God was reaching for Paul, when Jesus stopped Paul or Saul in his tracks, and he got his attention, he went to a man by the name of Ananias. And he said, "Ananias, I want you to go reach this guy named Saul. You know, the one who's killing everybody. The one who didn't care whether you were a man, woman, child, whether you're old or young. He didn't care. He was going to have you imprisoned. And most likely he would have you killed because you were a Christian. But he said, Ananias, I want you to go see this man Saul, and I want you to give him a message from me. I want you to bring to him the gospel that'll save his soul. I want you to tell him what he has been searching for. I want you to give him the understanding. This is what he's been looking for. This is what he's been reaching for." And like all of us probably, if the Lord put us in that situation, we would question God. Do you really want me to go talk to that individual? Do you really think that that individual can be changed? And we all have encountered that. But Ananias obeyed God. And he went and talked to Saul. And you know the story. Saul's blindness went away. Saul gave his life to Jesus Christ. He understood that Jesus was the invisible God that he had been serving. He had been serving in ignorance, but now he knew who Jesus was, and his life changed 180 degrees because a man by the name of Ananias accepted the call, accepted God's divine intervention, and said, "I want you to go and I want you to talk to this man." Philip was caught away and he went to that Ethiopian man. He went and again, God used him. It was a divine encounter. God said, "I want you to go reach this person. I want you to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ." And that's what Philip did. Let me give you some more current examples of what I'm talking about. About a year ago, we had one car. We still have one car. And so I work from home. I have a full-time job as well beside pastoring Life Church in Stockton. But I work from home. Sister Sherry, my wife, she works at the radio station. So she's gone. She's doing errands. She's doing things. And so I'm not able to get out, but that's okay because I have to work. But I told the Lord, and it was a bit of frustration in my life. I said, Lord, if I can't get out, then you bring people to my house that I can reach for you. And so I put that prayer to the Lord. But you have to be careful what you ask for, because this is how the Lord did that. He had my pump that pumped water from my well break. And I didn't have the fire. I'm still paying off that bill. I'm still paying it off. But that well pump broke. And so I had to call a company. We talked to our neighbor. She knew somebody who'd worked on hers. And so the people came out, and they came and started working on my pump. Gave me the estimate. I said, I have no choice. I have no water. I have no choice. Get over here. Fix it right away. And so they came out, and they fixed it. Well, in my mind, I thought, God, this is an expensive way to bring the gospel. But if this is how you want to do it, that's okay. And so there was a crew there. And of course, my whole focus was, somehow, I'm going to talk to them about the Lord. Somewhere in this day, when they're done or in the middle, I'm going to talk to them about the Lord. Well, one of them had gone to church and he was not serving God. The other one was his brother-in-law. His name was Jason. And he said, this guy really needs help. This is the guy who's not serving God now, but this other guy really needs help. And so, you know, we talked. I invited them. I talked to Jason. I invited them, and I encouraged them to come, and I planted a seed, and I told them, you guys just can't be waiting around anymore. You guys need to know Jesus. You guys need to take that step. You need to come back and serve God. So I planted that seed, and about 9 months later, here comes walking in the church this man named Jason with his wife, Yuselle, and three of his kids. God answered that prayer, because today, now they are in the church, been baptized in Jesus' name. And this morning, bless my life, I saw Yuselle. There was a lady who came in this morning, and they had found a spot on her breast. And so she was very afraid. But I saw Yuselle during the altar call. She had her hand on Patty. And she said, Patty, God is going to heal you. God is going to touch your life. God can do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. But it started with a prayer. God, let me just reach that one. My wife was in Walmart. And she's always talking to somebody. Doesn't matter. But there was this lady in front of her, and she was from Nigeria. Her name is Shola. And Shola was getting ready to pay for her food, but she didn't have enough money. She was like $5 short. And so Sherry said, she said, I'll pay, you know, I'll take care of that for you. And so she paid that. And since that day, little Shola from Nigeria has been coming to church. You see, if you will allow the Holy Ghost to direct you and guide you to where God is moving, to where God is working, to where God is drawing, God wants you to take this fire outside these doors and bring it to people that are hungry. Because as my wife said, this world is dying for something that's real and refreshing and renewing. I prayed again that prayer, and I texted this gentleman just on the way here. I was coming from Rochester, New York, and I was going back home, but my flight got delayed out of Rochester, so I got stuck in Atlanta. And I thought, God, I don't want to be stuck in Atlanta. I want to be home. but I couldn't get home. But my heart has been, God, take me to where you're moving. Take me to where you're working. Take me to that heart you're drawing. Lord, let my time be used carefully and wisely. Lead me to where you're working, God. And that was my prayer. That was my prayer, and it had been a constant prayer. So I get stuck in Atlanta, and I call the Lyft to get a ride to a hotel that was about 20, 30 minutes away because everything was booked. Everybody missed their flights. And I got in the car with a man, and he's from somewhere in the middle of Africa. I don't even know the name of the country. I couldn't hear him well enough. But I began to share with him about the Lord. And I just began to talk to him, just get to know him, just talk to him. But then I began to share something about the Lord, and he began just to listen. And sometimes you wonder, are they really accepting what you're saying or interested in what you're saying? But I could tell there was an interest. And before we got to the hotel, he said, and he called me Pastor. He said, Pastor, the Lord gave me a dream. And he said, the Lord told me he has a work for me to do. He says, but I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. I don't know anything. All I know is that the Lord gave me a dream. And so Patrick picked me up that next morning at 6:30 a.m. so I can catch my flight back home. And Patrick and I talked again more about the Word of God. He was so hungry, he didn't even want to charge me for the ride from the hotel to the airport. And I paid him, but he didn't even want to charge me. He said, Pastor, he said, you fed me last night, and you fed me today. I don't want to charge you. I said, Patrick, don't worry about it. But I text him today, because he was living in the city of Atlanta in one of the suburbs, and for about a month, it was just kind of spotty texting. And so he finally got back to me, and he had moved to a city called Lawrenceville, Georgia. And I said, Patrick, I said, you still want to know more about the Word of God? He says, I do, Pastor. He says, would you help me? And so I contacted one of our churches in Lawrenceville, and we're going to pray for the pastor. His name is Pastor Mills. He's sick, and I told his wife we would pray for him. I've never met the man. I've never even talked to the man. I talked to his wife. But Patrick got connected with a man named Charles Jones, their evangelist director. And Patrick has started Bible studies. He's been to church 3 times. He's been to midweek service. You see, God wants us to take this fire. God wants us to pray, Lord, take me to where you're working. Take me to where you're moving. Take me to where you're drawing a hungry heart and a hungry life. Because God wants to transform lives beyond these walls. You see, the scripture that I read, the scripture in Hebrews said, for the joy of the cross, what was the joy? The joy was that we would be saved. Somebody would reach for our hearts. Somebody would reach for our lives. Somebody would bring the gospel to us. That was the joy that the Lord was dying for, that we would be saved. Because it says he's not willing that any should be perished. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants everybody to have the same opportunity we have tonight. He wants everybody to live in this Shekinah glory. He wants everybody to come into a prayer meeting where the power of God is moving. He wants people to come where they can be prayed for and they will be healed. That's the word for this church. God, if you will ask the Lord to direct you and lead you throughout this city or in your family or wherever you go, I promise you, God will put people in your path, or he will direct you to people. He will put them in your path. He will do a work through your life. And here are the 5 words you never say. If God puts you in contact with somebody that needs him, and you see the need, here are 5 words you never say. I will pray for you. You say, why not? And your pastor knows, because you pray right then. That song that we sung earlier, something about coming into the room, how did it go? The first you sang, it's so beautiful. When you walk into the room, when he walks into the room, everything changes. Guess what? That fire rests on you, Suzanne. That fire rests on you. That fire rests on you, the fire of the Holy Ghost. And every room you walk in, everything changes. Every area you go to, everything changes. Because you're bringing the glory of God. You're bringing Jesus into that room. You're bringing Jesus into that family and into that need. You're bringing Jesus. Wherever you go, everything will change if you will bring him with you. And take this fire. Take this fire and take it to every room in the city. Wherever you go, people are drawn to fire. When a house is on fire, what does everybody do? They get out of their house. They can be in their pajamas. It could be 2 a.m. It could be any time of the day. If there is a fire, everybody goes to look at the fire. If you have kids, especially boys, boys love fire. You start a fire, it's just like a bead of honey. All the kids are right there in the fire. If we will take this fire, if we will take this fire, the Lord will bring people to you. They're going to be attracted to you. They're going to want to know why you're on fire. They're going to want to know why you're burning up. They're going to want to know what is different about you. That is the word for this church. The Lord is going to use many of you. You're going to take it out to this city. There's going to be great revival in this city. There's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And it's going to go outside of these walls. And I know many of you are probably doing that already. But I want to encourage you. Take it out. Take it out. And set the city on fire. Set the city on fire. Set a fire in every corner. Set a fire in every neighborhood. You have that power in you. When you walk into a room with Jesus, everything changes. Everything changes. Everything changes. Everything changes. When you walk into a room, everything changes. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to take that fire, if you want to ask God tonight, Lord, I want you to lead me where you're working, to where you're drawing, to the people you're drawing, to those that are hungering and thirsting for you. Lord, I want you to lead me to them or bring them to me. And I commit today to take that fire and give it to them. I'm going to let the fire of the Holy Ghost influence and change their lives and situation. Lift your hands right now. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. 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 Right now, let that Holy Ghost move. But now let it be a spirit of intercession. For the people that you're going to reach, for the people that God is going to put in your path, for the people that God is going to save, as you walk into a room, you're going to be bringing Jesus into that room in a powerful way where lives will be changed. Right now, lift your hands and lift your voice. Say, God, lead me. Lord, direct me. Lord, guide me to where you're working and where you're moving. Guide me to that hungry heart. Guide me to that hungry life. Guide me to that person, God, that needs a miracle. Guide me, Lord, that I can take this fire that you have placed in me, the Holy Ghost and fire, and make a difference, Lord, imparting to them this wonderful, wonderful power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you want that for your city, I invite you to come. If you want that for your city, I invite you to come. Say, God, send me. Send me, Lord. Bring them to me, Lord. Bring them to me, Lord. Bring them to me, Lord. Lord, I pray an anointing. I pray the power of the Holy Ghost, God, would be taken throughout this whole city. There would be wildfire set everywhere, God. That Shekinah glory be spread everywhere, Lord. Let it go through these people, Lord, that you have called by your name. Let it go through these people, God, your precious children, your precious saints right now. I pray a cry of intercession will go up, Lord. I pray a cry of travail will go up, Lord, because this city is going to be turned upside down. This is a day of revival, God. This is a day of outpouring, Lord. This is a day where your spirit is going to be poured out in increased measure, Lord. The latter rain is greater than the former rain. Lord, pour it out now. Pour it out now, Lord. Pour it out now, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to take the last scripture I gave you tonight. I press toward the mark. Let that mark be to reach a soul, that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. I want you to quote that scripture. I press toward the mark. That is, that every life is touched and changed, and that the glory of God will go wherever I go and make an impact wherever I might be. Jesus, Jesus, we press toward the mark, Lord. We press toward the mark, Lord, for the joy of the cross, that souls will know you, that people will be saved, that people will be changed, God. We press toward the mark, God, that this world can be saved, this city turned upside down. Families can be saved, Lord. Loved ones can be saved, Lord. Children to be saved, Lord. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I will keep praying. I will keep fasting.